any time that the gospel ends with, and throw this useless servant into the darkness outside where there'll be wailing and grinding of teeth, perhaps our response is a bit more of a question. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it's not the gospel we're used to hearing. Maybe that image of God is a little bit far and a little bit distant, a little bit hard for us to relate to. And maybe it seems a little bit more reasonable to be like that last servant, to be afraid that God is going to cast us outside because of the mistakes we've made. That seems a perfectly reasonable reading of that, right? But to understand why that story was told the way it was told and where it was told in the gospel and what this community needed to hear, the people that Matthew was writing to, what they needed to hear was that their patience, their faithfulness was going to be rewarded. This was a people who had been waiting for millennia, lifetimes and generations for the Messiah to come. And when he came, he ended up being crucified, died, rose from the dead, and then ascended into heaven and was gone. This was the one that was supposed to stay with us, right? This is the one that was supposed to heal everything in our hearts, was supposed to make all suffering go away, was supposed to explain it all. But instead, what he did was he walked right into the biggest mess of their lives and said, I am here. But then it seems that he's gone away, like in our gospel today, that a man has gone on a journey. And it feels like Jesus has gone on a journey that sometimes he's missing and we don't know quite where he is. And we just want to know that our life and our sufferings have meaning, that the chaos in our life is not meaningless. We want to know this. We want to know that whatever ways we're being faithful, that it's worth it. Otherwise, what good is faith? Faith's not easy, right? We've talked about that a lot this weekend. A lot of people are accusing us of making wishes when we pray, right? That all prayer is you're just making wishes to this fake God. He might as well be, as the new atheists say, a flying spaghetti monster up in space, because he does that much good to us, making our wishes to that God. Because your prayer is so easy, and it's your crutch that you walk around on because you're afraid of what happens after death. But then we have gospels like today, reassuring us that prayer is not easy. Faith is not easy. It's actually the harder option, if you ask me. And so this community is longing and waiting. They want to be reminded, and they want to be reassured that Jesus said, look, you're going to have to be patient, and you're going to be suffering because of your faithfulness. And then we start to think, because in our culture, that especially our younger generation, there's so much expected of you. You're expected to be so impressive in all that you do. So much of your time is taking up trying to be impressive, trying to be successful, and you're being encouraged by whatever ways that you can create your own personas on social media, right? Hey, I do the same here. You all know that. That we try to be as impressive as possible. That's what we feel our culture is calling us to. So we spend all our energy trying to be impressive, trying to be successful. And then we listen to this gospel and we hear the one guy who was not impressive, the one guy who was not successful, that he gets cast out into the darkness where there's wailing and grinding of teeth. And we think, oh, good luck. But this gospel is not asking us to be impressive. It's not asking us to be successful. What it's asking us is to be faithful. If you listen to the words of the master, he says, you were faithful in small things, so you'll be given great responsibility. Come share your master's joy. It's not success that's being lauded in the gospel today, it's faithfulness. And sometimes our faithfulness looks like failure. Sometimes our faithfulness looks like unimpressiveness. All you have to do is look at the cross. Is to know that sometimes when we're at our most faithful, it seems that we've made our greatest failures. I think we can say a lot of the same about the church right now. To look at the failures that we've made. The clergy, the laity, all of us in our desire to protect ourselves and our fear of sharing the gospel. That the world is falling apart because we have refused to share the encounter with Christ that we've had. So let's be honest. What's really striking at us right now? What is really hurting in culture? What is really hurting in our society like something we've never seen before? Let's talk about the dignity of women for a second. That's what the first reading was about, right? About the worthy wife, about the perfect woman. And then any of us can look to that list and say, I'm not successful like that. I struggle in my family like... And then we start comparing ourselves and we start looking around the room, we start looking around the church and we see other people who it looks like they have it figured out, but I don't have it figured out. What am I doing here? I don't belong here. But the gospel says that if you feel like you don't belong here, that's precisely why you belong here. Who is this worthy wife? We may read that list and we might focus on how she has her hand at the distaff and she's bringing wool and wheat into the house. I'm like, okay, well, that's great. That's outdated. That's irrelevant to my life. But pay attention. It also says that she extends her hand to the poor and she reaches out to the needy, that the husband can entrust his heart to her. And so this woman in the first reading today is not about how she makes the house successful, rich. It's not about her being useful. It's not about her being pretty. It's not about her being charming. In fact, it says that charm will fade and beauty is fleeting. But what makes this the worthy wife? That she has made a gift of herself. That she's willing to make a gift of herself. That she's willing to go beyond her own interests and to receive love so that she may give it. This isn't just a lesson for the worthy wife. And this isn't even just a lesson for women. Actually, men, we could probably look at the women and learn far more about how to relate in that way, how to become a gift by first receiving gift. Maybe one of the best examples in our culture right now. We have any Wonder Woman fans here? I know Justice League just came out, and I'm probably in the same boat as all of you. I don't know if any of you got to see it like midnight on Thursday or what, but I haven't seen it yet, so no spoilers coming this way. But just to look at the effect that Wonder Woman has had on our culture just this last year because of her own movie that came out, right? So we have this character, Diana, who's coming from pretty much a different world. She's actually, you know, related to the Greek gods, and she has tremendous power. She's more powerful than any man that she ever comes across. She's braver than any man that she ever comes across. But is it because she's braver and stronger than any man that she comes across? Is that what makes Diana Wonder Woman? I think otherwise, what makes her Wonder Woman is the compassion that drives that power, the compassion that drives that courage and that bravery. There's a scene in the movie where... she is in these trenches. She's trying to travel across Europe through the worst battles of World War I in order to help save people, okay? And so she's in these trenches, and she sees all these soldiers, all these men who are huddled down. They've become these unable to move. Neither side has been able to move an inch because they're at this stalemate, because they're all grasping for that last next inch of power and of land. And because they're grasping for this last inch, this last little bit of power, they're paralyzed. They're at a stalemate. They can't move. But Diana knows that there's a city caught in the middle of it, that there are families who are suffering because they can't get food, because they have no safety. And it's that compassion, it's that willingness to relate to people who are suffering, love in the face of suffering, that moves her, and she gets out of that trench. She looks at her companions, and they're telling her, no, we can't do that. That's no man's land. They've been here for a year, and they haven't moved an inch. We can't save everybody in this war. That's not what we're here to do. And she starts getting out of that trench, and she says, no, but it's what I'm going to do. And she gets up, and she starts taking the fire, and she starts defending the soldiers, and they are able to get up, and they're not only taken inch by inch by inch, but they are able to get into the city to save the families and the people who are suffering because of this war. And it's not because she's not Wonder Woman, she's not an ideal woman, a worthy wife, because she's stronger than any man, but because she lets that experience of being woman, that experience of receiving love and so giving love, drive her to do good. St. John Paul II had something to say about this. So maybe not Wonder Woman, but about the dignity of woman. In 1988, before you guys were born, St. John Paul II wrote a letter to the church, pretty much, so he was writing it to you too, called Mulieris Dignitatem. It means the dignity of woman. And he goes into the way that man and woman are created in the image of God alike. That, you know, I know it's not popular in culture to speak today about the difference between man and woman, but we need to be on the same page, right? We need to understand what we mean when we say difference between man and woman. We're talking about equal in dignity, but different in the ability and the kinds of gifts that we can give to society, that we can give to one another. And so he explains, John Paul II says, he wraps up the letter by saying, in the spirit of Christ, in fact, women can discover the entire meaning of their femininity and thus be disposed to making a sincere gift of self to others, thereby finding themselves. In the sign and in the symbol that God has given to us in woman, we have a reminder that being part of human means to receive love, to nurture that love, and then to bear that love out to the world. And yes, I know it's not expressed in the same way in every woman's life, but can we men not learn a lesson from that? That part of being human, part of being created in the image of God, is to receive love, to nurture love, and to bear it to the world. And believe it or not, Wonder Woman is not the best example we have of this in the church. Let's look to our Blessed Mother. A young woman who had every reason to say no to God. How dangerous it was to bear a child, especially out of wedlock at that time. And in that culture, to take that risk, to not ask permission from her soon-to-be husband, Joseph, to say yes to God, with that boldness and that courage and that freedom to say, yes, God, I will risk this for you. I will receive your love, nurture your love, bear that love, and give it a name. And that love has a name. That's the love that we encounter when we come to this altar. In the midst of all the chaos of our lives, we have an opportunity in the greatest messes of our lives to receive God's love, to nurture God's love, and to bear God's love into the darkest places in this world. And your experience is, every last one of us, our experience is that God doesn't just snap a finger and pour his love into the world without us being a part of it. We know after this weekend, and all of us know from our experiences, that love has to be nurtured in some of the darkest places of this world in order for it to be fruitful. So we can learn a lesson from the worthy wife of the book of Proverbs in our first reading today. We can learn a lesson from that poor man who was cast into the darkness where there was wailing and grinding of teeth. And it's that God's love is shown when we are able to make a gift of ourselves to others. And that's the church. If your experience of church has been that we come into this place to hide and make our wishes, you've never experienced church. We come into this place so we might bring every last part of our hearts, broken as they might be, place them on this altar and let God transform them so that we might be sent out of this place and we might extend our hands to the needy, reach out to the poor. And if we don't become gift to one another in this place, then we've not let it really become church. So I would say welcome to back to the real world, but you know that this weekend is what the real world really was. It is your mission now to bring the real world back to your families, back to your schools, and back to your homes, to become a gift in those places that you may feel most broken. Because we're not church unless we first become gift.